One of the great privileges I have as a pastor is to be able to confer the sacraments of initiation for adults, meaning at the Easter Vigil to baptize, to confirm by delegation of the bishop, and also to give First Holy Communion to these adults who've professed their faith. It's always a wonderful experience to see an adult actually make this profession of faith and receive the sacraments. I sometimes think that for us who are called cradle Catholics, that includes myself, we don't always appreciate this. We don't appreciate what baptism and confirmation, and of course Holy Eucharist, have given to us. And so St. Peter challenges us today. In our second passage, St. Peter says that you be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Meaning, be ready to tell people why you believe. Be ready to tell people what it means to be a baptized, confirmed Catholic. So let's think for a moment about these sacraments. Of course, in baptism, we are freed of original sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. Original sin, any sin is washed away, and the divine life of God, the divine life of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we call sanctifying grace, is infused into our soul. We are recreated, reborn as a child of God, a son of the Father, a brother of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, a member of the church, and a citizen of heaven. Yes, here in baptism, we receive the supernatural virtues of faith, hope, and charity, plus the first offering of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Baptism also leaves a sacred seal, a character on our soul. We're now known as a Christian, a member of the church. But then comes confirmation. Think of our first passage in Acts the Apostles. Peter and John hear that these Samaritans have been baptized, but then they go, they pray, they lay hands upon them, and they call down the Holy Spirit. This is the beginnings of what we call the sacrament of confirmation. The confirmation really completes, or as the Catechism says, perfects those graces at baptism. Through confirmation, we receive the fullness of those gifts of the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord, piety, knowledge, understanding, counsel, wisdom, and fortitude. Since most of us were at least probably eighth grade when we received confirmation, or I was in third grade actually, we can remember receiving that sacrament. There the bishop, who has that apostolic authority, came. He called down the Holy Spirit. We came before the bishop. He laid his hand on our head and made the sign of the cross with holy chrism on our forehead. Chrism is a blessed oil that goes back to the Old Testament times. It was used to anoint the priests, the prophets, and the kings of the Jewish people, showing God had empowered them to fulfill the responsibilities to which they had been called. For us, Christ is the priest, the prophet, the king. So through confirmation, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be like a priest and sanctify others, to be like the prophet who teaches others, to be the king who shepherds, rules, and guides others. That chrism also reminds us of the seal of confirmation. Just as oil on a garment leaves a permanent stain, chrism, this anointing, means that confirmation makes a sacred character, a seal upon our own soul. And then, chrism is a blessed oil and a perfumed oil. And the idea here is, by receiving baptism and confirmation, we're called to smell differently, to smell like saints, not pagans in this world. People should have that sense of the odor of sanctity through our lives. But here are these two great sacraments. Of course, then, we are nourished as we continue our journey of faith to live this character through the gift of the Holy Eucharist. So, my brothers and sisters, we have to consider, as we continue through our Easter celebration, and in 2 weeks celebrate Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who we are. We have to remember this character that we have received, but also the power that has been given to us. St. Paul always spoke of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Greek, that's the word dunamis, from which we derive the word dynamic. So, are you and I dynamic in living our faith? This is the real challenge. Are we ready, as St. Peter challenges us, to give a reason for why we believe? To really show to others, yes, this faith is important to me. This faith makes all the difference in the world. Back at Easter time, we passed out these books called Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic by Matthew Kelly. I hope that you received a copy. If not, we still have some available. And I hope that you may have taken some time to read through it. I'm almost finished. I've perused it. But he makes some good points, because dynamic Catholic, that's a Catholic empowered by the Holy Spirit, someone who's on fire. And his point is this, that if we look at our church, he says, from all the research that he's done in America with the different parishes, that only 8.4% of the people donate 80% of the volunteer service hours in the church. And 8.8% of the people donate 80% of the monetary needs of the church throughout the world. That's 80% of the monetary needs of the church. And there's an overlap. So you take those two percentages, well, they overlap by 80%. The point is simply this. To make it simple, about 1 out of 20 Catholics is doing some kind of service, 80% of the service, and about 80% of the monetary contribution. He says, though, that if you look at our church, whether it's at the parish level or the institutional level, the Catholic Church educates more students, feeds more hungry people, clothes more naked people, shelters more homeless elderly, cares for more sick people than any other government or private or nonprofit organization. So, he thinks, what if we bumped it up 1%? Think of all the good that could be done. Well, my brothers and sisters, take those little statistics, and you and I have to think, are we living the fullness of the character of the sacraments we've received? Are we really empowered with the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, especially at the sacrament of confirmation? What are we doing to build up the body of Christ? So if we look at his 4 points of what makes a dynamic Catholic, first is prayer. And he says a dynamic Catholic prays for just 10 minutes a day. Well, the dear Lord gives us 1,440 minutes a day. 10 minutes isn't much when we think about it for prayer, when we think about how much time spent on watching the news or reading the paper, texting, whatever it may be. 10 minutes really isn't much, but it is essential, isn't it? Because it's through prayer we enter into a friendship with our Lord. Now, we have to punctuate our day with prayer, so like a little morning offering, grace at meals, bedtime prayer. We have to have those little interjections of thank you, Lord, for this something that happened, or Lord, I need help right now. Yes, little interjections, but there has to be that time where we pray to that 10 minutes, maybe 15, and we say, thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to me. Lord, bless my wife, my husband, whoever it may be, other loved ones and so on, praying for each of them. Lord, help me with this need. I'm having trouble with this situation. Give me guidance. Give me strength. Lord, help me to know you better. And maybe conclude with an Our Father. But that's how we pray. And so, when Jesus told the apostles, I won't leave you orphaned, if we're praying, we're opening ourselves to the movements of the Holy Spirit so that we know the presence of our Lord. We have a friendship, not someone who's just an intellectual concept, a friendship. And with that friendship, we know that we can walk through the day, no matter what we face, good or bad, joyful or sorrowful, and know He's there. That gives us great power. The prayer time empowers us to live our life. Second sign, he said study. A dynamic Catholic studies for 15 minutes a day, meaning reading like 5 pages of a good Catholic book. Well, again, if we have 1,440 minutes a day, 15 minutes of study is not much. But study is also like prayer, and it could be reading a book like this for 15 minutes a day, or it could be reading sacred scripture, or gospel, and reflecting on it. It could be Lives of the Saints, something of the catechism. But all of us here ought to be knowing our faith better. Here again, we're opening ourselves to these tremendous gifts of the Holy Spirit so that friendship with our Lord takes on even greater depth. We know Him better. We know who He is. And the Holy Spirit encourages us, incites us to want to know Him even better. Whenever we love someone, we want to know that person better. Same thing with our Lord. But this is important because in our world today, you and I well know the challenges we face, especially in the area of morality. And sadly, you and I well know that for most of us, our religious education, at least formally, probably stopped after confirmation, whenever that was. So how do we live our faith as an adult? How do we know it? Jesus said, if you really love me, you're going to keep the commandments. Well, do we know what the commandments really mean? Like number 5, yes, thou shalt not kill. Well, it's more than just not murdering somebody, an innocent person. If we really know the 5th commandment, it means that we're saying yes to the gift of life. That life is sacred. Every human being is sacred. That life is sacred from conception until natural death. And no one has the right to just eliminate or declare an unborn child a non-person and take that child's life, or to look upon a disabled person or an elderly person and declare them a vegetable and take their lives. No, life is sacred. That's the knowledge we ought to have about the 5th commandment. Or take the 6th, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, it's more than that. The 6th commandment says that our sexual being is sacred. Our love is sacred. Sexual love is reserved to marriage. It's good. It's sacred. And that love between husband and wife may bring even life into this world. We can't redefine marriage. We can't redefine what sexual love is about. It's not a fleeting pleasure. It's a sacred gift from God. That's what we believe. That's what we know. But by knowing it, believing it, and with that prayer energizing it, then we can go out to the world. And the third point is then that we're generous. Well, if we really have that friendship with our Lord, and we know Him, and we really love our faith, we're going to be generous in living that faith, generous in giving of our time, talent, and treasure. Now, go back to that statistic. About 1 out of 20 Catholics actually does something for the church. Ask yourself, what do you do? Yes, it's good we're all here to worship God, but why not volunteer to do something for your church? Why is it always the same old faces doing the same thing all the time? You see that in a parish. Same people are the ushers, who are the Eucharistic ministers, who are the lectors, who are the Knights of Columbus, who are the women's group, and so on. Why not do something for your parish? We have a beautiful choir. Some of you must be able to sing. Why not sing for your parish and for God? Think of it. It's a real challenge. We must not be comfortable, but rather we have to be generous in supporting our parish with time, talent, and treasure. And lastly, to evangelize. Consider this. If we're praying and we really know and love our faith and we're really serving the Lord, we're going to want to share that with others, to help others come to belief. We may meet somebody who knows nothing about Jesus Christ. Or maybe someone's confused about Catholicism. Maybe someone's hostile. Are we ready to engage that person and say, this is what we believe? Are we ready to invite someone to come to church? Invite someone to become a Catholic and explore the faith? Are we ready? Too many people who are confirmed keep their mouth shut. We have to be ready, as St. Peter said, to give a reason for why we believe. Yes, there's a challenge. Some of you may have seen that movie, God Is Not Dead. If you haven't, great movie. Maybe this Memorial Day weekend you can see it. But I've known kids who've gone off to college, and they've lived that movie. I remember one student that we had here went to UVA, signed up for Philosophy 101, as many freshmen do. One of the questions is always, is there a God or is there not a God? And the professor, in his arrogance, says, how many of you believe in God? Out of 30 kids, she's the only one that said, I do. And from there on, had to face the challenges. But she did so. And she wrote to me thanking me, not only for the education she received in confirmation prep, but for the motivation to further study her faith, to go to class each day prepared, and to spread the faith. Or John Jehoviak, one of our catechists, also usher, also substitute teacher for Loudoun County, said that he was there teaching, and here some teacher in history class had told the class, well, in 1531, Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared in Mexico City, but the Catholic Church hasn't canonized Our Lady of Guadalupe. And he said, what? It's the Blessed Mother. The teacher didn't know Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Blessed Mother are the same person. And how many kids did ignorant teacher teach? He had to reteach it. But that's the challenge. And how wonderful it is if, because of the reason we give for living our faith, someone comes to faith. But the key is, we have to let the power of the Holy Spirit enter our lives to set us on fire. And people have to see the joy, the love that we have because of our life with Jesus Christ. May God bless you.